So hear the words of our Lord. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. So this seems like kind of a unique time, meaning the scripture time I shared with you, because Jesus had been crucified. He was placed in a tomb. Pretty much everybody around that paid any attention to this thought, that's it, all done, the end. And yet what we're about and what we just heard is it's actually all about a new beginning, a great beginning, unlike any beginning that had ever happened before, because now Christ's body is among people, not just Jesus walking the earth. So I had to take a moment to kind of review the fact there are four different places that talk about this time. The book of John, it's really interesting. Jesus gives all action words when he tells the disciples that they should feed, they should take, and they should follow. There was going to be no more sleeping anywhere doing nothing. Anybody who thought that was the end, and Jesus said, no, get up and moving, people. You got stuff to do. And then in Luke, the gospel of repentance and forgiveness is to be declared. We are to be witnesses preaching to all nations. The Holy Spirit is coming, and you're supposed to go out and bless and be blessed. Again, there's no snoozing. Mark, there's this whole resurrection, and you're supposed to go tell. Now, mind you, Mark has this whole conflicted thing at what is at the end of it. You look in your Bibles, you'll see all these little notes. But bottom line, either way, whether you embrace the extra stuff at the end or you don't, it's very clear there's more to come. And then Matthew, where they've gone to where they were told to be, some doubt, as any of us might. And then those action words, to go, to make disciples, to be baptizing, to be teaching. Now, let's just suppose for a second, if there was no resurrection, would any of that have happened? Now, everybody would have gone home. The guys would have gone back to fishing. Some might have gone back to tax collecting. There would have been no actions, no verbs. Everything would have been forgotten. And maybe some would have protected the past. Ah, we're going to put a memorial here to this. And we're going to put another one over here to this. And these are the ways we're going to remember things from the past. But you know what really is tragic in that? If you hold on too much to protecting the past, you miss pursuing the future. And God was all about pursuing the future. So what looks like an end is actually so much more. It is a new beginning. So that even though it looked like Jesus was ending everything, no, so much more is coming. And this new beginning, sometimes hard and difficult things happen for the great stuff that's to come. We know even with Steve and Kim's son, he's a potential Olympic athlete. That man practices a lot. Nobody who makes it to the Olympics can say they did it because they just happened to show up that day. They've spent years practicing, competing, growing, training, getting ready for that golden moment. By the same token, I don't know how many have paid attention to it recently, but IHOP tried a little something. IHOP, I-H-O-P, because we all know it is the International House of Pancakes. Why they tried a month and a half ago to become the International House of Burgers is beyond me. And as I'm sure most of you are aware, it didn't fly. People went, excuse me, I may get a burger there, but that's not why we really like that place. And so they have affectionately gone back to being the International House of Pancakes. But guess what? their sales of hamburgers have gone up over 70%. Aha! So there was some wisdom in that going forward, even if they did have to change their name back. And I found it very interesting, and I just get a kick out of following the royals, because there's nothing more fun than a great wedding and all the other stuff that goes with it, and cute kids, and it's just amazing. But I found it very interesting this past week that Kate particularly shared about how one of the hardest things she went through was when she and William broke up. She thought it was the end. Nah, I just had the future king leave me. How bad can it get? And yet she admitted and said, I gained more as a person in my own strength in that time when we were broken apart, that when he came back around and we got it right, I'm a much better person for it. She was really embracing that what looked like the end meant, no, there's something better coming, but you got to be ready for it. In the same way, I think a lot of what happened before that resurrection was all about an end to get people ready for an incredible new beginning. So now there's a new culture, there's a new directive, there's a new measure of success. Let's unpack this stuff. So we're not going to protect just the past, we're going to pursue the future. So that new culture, it's all about activity and action words. We're going to be feeding and following and witnessing and going and telling and preaching and making and baptizing. And is there anybody sitting on their hands in that? I don't think so. And these actions support a new culture, a culture of life through Christ here and eternally. And that new culture is one of truth. God is love and always with us. A culture of fruitfulness, new followers of Christ, witnesses of God's love in action, going forward to share the good news with others. And a culture of accountability. The end of the age is going to come, and Christ is going to have authority over it and is coming back. That's a big shift. Consider with the old culture, what we see sometimes now as the, for the Star Wars fans among you, the dark side against Christian culture. It's not life. It's death. Check out your local television movies. You know. Yeah, there's like a body count by the end of almost every show you watch these days. It's certainly not about truth. It's about deception. False news, false presentations, false stuff, an appearance to distract from whatever is truth. And certainly not fruitfulness, because fruitfulness means relationships, and our current dark side culture is all about debts. How much do we owe, and off to work we go? So I had some fun statistics searches with Google this past week. So apparently, the average household in the United States right now makes about 60 grand. And they owe 16,000. Yeah. One family in four doesn't have debt. That's it. And we're not even talking about our government, how much money they owe. We have become a culture of debt as opposed to a culture of fruitfulness. And certainly not about accountability. We're all about, the dark side is about, you know, denial, finger pointing, somebody else, sidestepping, avoidance. There's a whole bunch of great English words for the bottom line of going, not me. Now, my personal favorite, I got a tickle out of this. I don't know how many of you follow anything that goes on in California. You know, it's a great state. Some parts better than others, but you know. And Silicon Valley, another great place, brought us a lot of great changes. It also has brought us probably one of the largest fraud suits in history. And by the way, to their credit, it wasn't a guy this time. If you want to do some checking out, you can learn about Elizabeth Holmes. Elizabeth Holmes created a company called Theranos. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but you all know the general gist. You can go find it, I'm sure, if you Google. She got people to believe she was creating a company that was going to be the be-all, end-all for cheap blood testing. And got funding to the tune of, you ready? $700 million. And guess what the company produced? Yeah. And got a lot of very well-known organizations to buy into this, including Walgreens, who, if you know any history, was at one time named as one of the top 10 companies in the United States. Good to great, because they were valued for principles and great financial stability, and they just lost a boatload on Theranos. So, the old culture. Jesus says, that's out of here. We're not going to be about death. We're not going to be about deception. We're not going to be about debt. We're not going to be about deniability. We're doing something different. My followers are going to be different. So now we're going to embrace God's culture. And our Lord's culture has a new beginning, a new directive. It says, first of all, who we are. We're people who show God's love by our behavior. We preach the gospel at all times, as St. Francis said, and we only use words when necessary. We embrace life in Christ. We reflect truth of Christ by who we do, pursuing a future by feeding, following, teaching, making, baptizing, building disciples, followers of Christ. What we do matters. And we embrace relationships in Christ. We're not just building a building for the sake of a building. How many of y'all remember this? Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Look inside, and what's all the people? Sadly, there is a time sometimes where people get the steeple, they get the walls, and they forget about what's inside. But the truth is, without this, there's nothing. And there are plenty of churches that, because they're great people, they don't ever even do a building. Because the building isn't where Christ's power is housed. It's our heart and how we choose to live. So where we go is also a big part of this shift as individuals and as a community of believers. June and I are nuts. We went to Japan for 2 years. It was good, I grant you. I'm terrible at walking 6 steps behind him. I'm really not good in a grocery store, not asking what things are. Ask him later about the horse story, he'll tell you. But we were vulnerable to going, okay, Lord, where do you want us to go? Each one of you now, you're learning. Where is it that God is having you go? And the tricky part is, it doesn't mean you got to go to Japan. It may mean you got to go to the end of your driveway and talk to your neighbor. You know, the one that has a dog that poops in your yard? Yeah. That you're going to do something adventurous just outside of your comfort zone, not outside of your world. Embracing a new accountability and fruitfulness in this new culture, a willingness to be with God, not disturbed by the world, but in God's peace, not unclear about the future, but relying on God's faithfulness, growing and growing closer to God because we personally are involved in prayer and worship and family and being living witnesses to others. It's kind of like the Noob's Boys song. It's a really old song, by the way, but some of you may know it. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking in, bored. Because so much of our culture outside of Christ is bored, is desperate, and has no thoughts of what is happiness, truth, and life. We carry that through Christ of life, of truth, of joy. So when we're fully engaged in this new culture with Christ, Christ directs us to be about life and truth, to be about eternity, not so heavenly focused, by the way, that we're no earthly good, but that we're accountable to hear and pray to hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Because there's a new measure of success. It's not about who with the most toys wins. We have an opportunity this coming week, and I encourage you to take it. Think a little about a couple things. One, notice God's peace and presence with you. Even if it's just when you're riding your car to wherever you have to go, be it taking kids to school and running an errand, waiting for a tow truck to come get you, take that moment, God's presence. Wow. Two, notice the new culture of Christ. Pick out those God moments, because God will show them to you if you're noticing, if you're looking for it. You will see things that are actions of others or even yourself. You may be driven to do something you think, normally I wouldn't do that, but okay. That's part of you showing God to others. And notice what your definition is of success. So you don't lose your mind when you look at the mail that came in and the bills, but you think about how God's going to help provide and how you're going to have wisdom in what you do going forward. See, we have an opportunity to end with the beginning in mind. Just as Christ was crucified and looked like it was all over, but it was just the beginning of great stuff that was coming. Just even from today going forward, this doesn't have to be an end. It doesn't have to be, church is good, going home, taking a nap, watching the Broncos next weekend, I'm good. But are we going to be about the culture and love of Christ? Will we show it forth in who we are? And perhaps even here today, somebody's going to, in their mind and their heart, reaffirm or ask God into their life because they recognize there's more out there and they want that life to the full that Christ offers. So, join with me that we will be about real life, real truth, real fruitfulness, and real eternity with God, because that is what we are truly called to. In Christ's name, amen.